The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Welcome back. This is going to be very, very interesting, a lot of fun. It should be intriguing, and it should set a lot of people off into different directions of thought and analysis. At least we hope so. That's the idea. Guest tonight, we had on last week, Preston Dennett, one of the world's premier UFO researchers, authors, investigators, a man who is known for his intelligence and his humility, which is not a very common duo in terms of personality traits anymore. We find a lot of people with a lot of ego, and Preston is not one of those people. And I have a hunch it goes a long way to encouraging others to share their stories with him, Dolly being one of them. Dolly is here tonight as well. Preston, let me say hello to you first. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And Preston's book is entitled Symmetry, S-Y-M-M-E-T-R-Y, and it will be linked in guests to right under his name there in just a few minutes. We're getting that together now. You can get it on Amazon, A True UFO Adventure, Symmetry by Preston Dennett, D-E-N-N-E-T-T. Preston, what were your thoughts after last Thursday's program with Dolly? How'd that seem to you?
Great. I'm pretty excited about it. Dolly hasn't done a lot of, radio stuff, and so she's still new to this. She's spoken only once, face-to-face, at a convention not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
But she's starting to get a real hang of it, and I think more comfortable sharing her story. The response so far has been very positive, which I kind of knew it would be.
You warned me. You warned me. You said, Jeff, you're not going to believe this one. This is the best one ever.
Yeah. I mean, having talked to a lot of people, I was very, very impressed. No one has ever told me a story as extensive as hers involving, not only being taken on board, learning how to fly these craft, but traveling throughout our solar system to other planets, meeting many different types of ETs. It's far more extensive than any story I've pretty much even read about, actually.
Well, there must have been a lot of things that you wanted to pull out. We only had an hour. We'll have more time tonight. We're going to be doing this for 2 hours, so we have a lot of questions. All right, let's see if Dolly is there. Are you there, Dolly? Can you hear me okay?
Hi. Yes, I hear you just fine. How are you?
I'm same as I was last week. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. How did you like the program? Was that fun for you? You sounded just terrific. You sound like you've been doing it for years. Did you have a good time?
Well, yes, I am, actually. It was, I thought I would be nervous. I thought it would be just like pulling teeth, maybe. I don't know. I had no clue, literally. And it's very easy to speak with you, and I felt real relaxed, and it was great. And I appreciate that totally.
Well, thank you. I don't do interviews. I just talk to people. It's like sitting around the kitchen table, two, three of us talking. That's the way I like to do it. And I don't make plans or have a list of specific questions that I have to go through. I just want to hear what the person has to say. And what you have to say, you've told a great deal of it to Preston. Have you things that you haven't, and you've talked to Preston a lot. Are there things that you still haven't gotten into with him at this point?
I'm pretty sure there is, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a whole lifetime of experiences. Things come up every now and then. We'll just be chatting about something, and boom, my memory will go, it'll come out, you know? So
I thoroughly understand.
It's hard to just spill your entire guts and lifetime in 5 minutes. It doesn't happen.
No.
There's a lot.
Preston, volume two, what are we talking about here? Second edition?
Yes, I think so, because every time I talk to Dolly and we start talking, I'm like, then she'll bring something up. I'm like, well, I don't think you told me that. like, she talked about how, I think it was the late 1970s, they had a mission, she and the ETs, to start scooping up species that were in danger of going extinct. And I knew that this was kind of going on from other contactees. We hear this all the time. You know, UFOs dropping down and picking plants and taking, you know, animals of various kinds. I think that subject came up, and Dolly's like, oh, yeah. There was a big danger of many species going extinct, and so we had a real mission that's ongoing.
Dolly, so where...
That's not in the book.
Where do you and others like you take these plants and animal samples? Where do you take them? Where are they being stored?
They transport them to wherever they would be able to live or thrive. So it's a little complicated. They have to decide which way each of them is going to go. They transport them to larger craft that can keep them going until they get them there, and so it's a lot of coordinating and getting done. They've been doing this for eons, though. It's a sort of it's a normal exercise for them to do. They're I like to speak of them as they're like the gardeners of the universe. They take care of everything.
So they do they do this kind of thing on other planets as well. They try to balance things out. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, pretty much. Yes.
You know, on this forlorn planet of ours, current status to be kept in mind when I say forlorn, it's in trouble. About 400, I think it's maybe over 400 species of animals go extinct every day. Every day.
Yes.
It's astounding.
Yes. In the last couple of decades, more than 3 million animals have gone extinct on this planet, and it happens in rounds because of what's going on. And the 1970s was a real busy time because things were really starting to escalate then. Some of it's our fault. We're polluting at exponential rates, and these animals didn't have a chance, so they got them off as much. I mean, there's about 400,000 types of amphibians that just disappeared off the planet. And there's animals on this planet that most people have no idea even exist, and they're disappearing because of what we do here. And
that's a very
constantly busy with that.
That's a sad statement, isn't it? Animals vanishing that are never even seen or appreciated or studied or tried to be saved. Nothing. They're just gone. It's like they were never here.
Yes.
The good news is they're not actually going extinct. They are being protected.
Right.
And I did talk to one contactee from one contactee from Australia when they were having huge wildfires. And she talked about how the ETs were pulling lots of the wildlife from the Australian forests, koala bears and all kinds of stuff, rescuing them. And that fits right into what exactly Dolly is saying. So this is definitely one of the ET agendas.
Dolly, when we talk about ETs saving animals and plant species, flora and fauna on this round globe, which ETs are we talking about? Are there numbers of different types that are involved with this? Is this a galactic mission of sorts? What is it?
It's a cooperative effort. All life is connected, and they all know that. We can't, none of us, not even them, can survive without our ecological balance, our niche. And just because you travel in space and go from planet to planet doesn't mean that you don't understand that. You do. And so they're constantly reorganizing, reconnoitering, trying to keep things, you know, motivated and going, especially when they see a bunch of people like us messing it up, and they pull them out and sit them, you know, where they can be safe until they decide what's going to happen. This planet was seeded here this time around, and everything that's here was brought here to exist, coexist, and help us to evolve. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to let that go to the wayside.
I hope not. When you say this time around, what do you mean by that? This planet is about 4.5 billion years old. Let's give it a billion years to calm down and get ready to support life. So that makes it 3.5 billion years since it's been able to support life. I'm not a geologist. I'm just pondering. But we got 3.5 billion years of history. From your interaction with your friends, how many times has this particular type of Homo sapien, or maybe others, taller, bigger, I don't know, with, you know, two heads, I don't know. How many other types of civilizations have arisen and then destroyed themselves or left the planet, just gone? They got sick of it and they left for whatever reason. How many times have we been doing this, in other words, in 3.5 billion years on this orb?
Well, that I've been taught, about 280 million years worth of existence for humans here, and it's been at least eight. We're on number eight that I know of, and nothing is static in the universe. This is not a lifetime event for this planet. In other words, this planet's not going to exist forever, and it goes through machinations and gyrations, and it has bad days, and it redoes itself over and over and over again. Our sun does the same thing. Nothing is permanent. And we've had huge cycles of catastrophe on this planet where the planet, you know, pretty much redoes itself over and over and over again. We've been brought here and placed here eight times that I know about. Before that, we were on another planet. Mars was pretty much home to humanity. This planet was mostly a dinosaur planet, you know, lizards, things like that.
All right.
It had a different gravity,
okay.
That kind of thing.
Uh-huh. All right, so this is number eight. We've
yes.
blown it, or we've otherwise lost it eight times here. That's what you know about,
yes.
over 280
yes.
million years. Very interesting.
Yes.
That does explain some of the amazing artifacts. Preston, you know about these. Michael Cremo's book, Hidden History of the Human Race. You ever read that book, Dolly?
No.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I mean, this man, Michael Cremo, and I'd love to get him back on the program, has spent an awful lot of time finding archaeological artifacts in ancient stone, I mean encased in coal, granite, you name it, that goes back tens of millions of years, maybe more.
Yeah.
They'll find a
yeah.
little, like, I remember one thing, and it was a piece of, I believe they call it bituminous black coal, Anyway, they broke open a big piece, and this little thing fell out. It was a perfect gold woman's bracelet, little links, little circular links in a bracelet. So there you go. Things like that. There is a lot of evidence here. People just don't know where to look for it for the most part. But we have been here. We've done this before. And it does appear, and I don't want to get geopolitical right now too much, but we are getting very close to what appears to be the edge of World War III. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. There are a lot of ramifications to such a thing that would end the planet. We had 103 nuclear reactors in the U.S., which would melt down, for example, if there was a thermonuclear exchange, or an EMP burst up high, which would shut down all the electronics. All of those nuclear reactors would melt. We'd have a completely irradiated northern hemisphere and southern hemisphere, because the entire Earth's atmosphere exchanges, so to speak. In other words, it shifts around every couple of days. It's a very active planet in that regard. It doesn't always just stay north of the equator and south of the equator. So we're having a lot of problems right now. The story today was that NATO is trying to cut off Russia's access to a part of Russia called Kaliningrad in Europe. And Russia has already said that will mean war. So the talk is there. What will come of it? I don't know. What are your senses? Now, this planet has gone through wars from the beginning. What are your senses about this species of ours? Why do we always end up killing each other or being directed to do that by some other genetic or ethereal consciousness or otherwise? Why do we always end up fighting and killing? What do your friends tell you about that?
Humanity on this planet is here to exist, to evolve and learn. This is a physical paradigm in which we exist from source. We come out to become wise, to raise our level of consciousness, to understand what it means to own wisdom and to become wise. And unfortunately, in this particular paradigm, this physical realm that we're all in, there is a coexisting negative existence as well. And for whatever reason, the negative on this planet overtakes the non-evil, the good, quite frequently. And it's kind of owning everybody right now.
Is there
an agenda?
Oh, yes. Is there an intelligence out there somewhere directing that? You talked about the privilege of wisdom and owning wisdom, and that is something that people just generally don't appreciate. We have that ability. We're not using it. So what's causing the dark, just to keep it simple, to overrun the light, at least at this point in time? Because if I had to say who was in the lead, it's evil right now. It's not the good.
Right. It is the collective consciousness of the people who live here.
It's
like a disease that overtakes everyone, yeah.
Hold on. Dolly, hold on, please. It's like a disease. Homo sapiens have been afflicted with a disease we'll call evil. And
correct.
That disease right now is running the show, driving us toward what appears to be another conflagration of many people dying. Correct? It's
correct.
Like a disease.
Yes.
That was a very interesting illustration.
Correct.
A collective unconsciousness illness.
Right. Your intentions, your thoughts are powerful. And if you direct them in a very, very straightforward way, whether it's, negative or positive, you will influence all the other mind's consciousness around you. And it can become overwhelming, like a disease. It can infect other minds or other consciousness.
Got it.
As well as good can.
And the media is leading the charge to overrun human
delivery system.
Common
yes.
sense. Yeah.
Correct.
Yep, I think this is why Dolly's early training with the ETs was very much concentrated on morality and ethics before moving on to, you know, science and history and astronomy and so forth. They're
that's exactly where I wanted to go next. Thank you. Let's go there. This started for you in January 1973 when you were 14.
Being consciously aware of it, yes. It actually started pretty much from birth for me. I've been trained my entire life, and it took a while for me to connect to it. My decision to become fully aware was my decision. And when I was 14, I made that decision. I wanted it. There was no way I was going to be stopped from being completely aware of what was going on in my life. I wanted to know. And so I did it. And it's been an interesting road ever since, because I have gone backwards and forwards in my timeline, collecting things that I've known and put them on. In other words, I'm completely aware now of everything that I've learned from them. I'm completely aware of what my purpose is. I'm completely aware of what my aim and goals are. I'm completely aware of how I'm affecting others, how we behave, what we do, what we say. Everything is a rock in a pond, just like everybody else, and I am now consciously aware of it and how I'm affecting and being affected.
You're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Correct.
That's a nice feeling.
A choice.
Yeah, and that is a matter of choice. So many people just get like leaves in the wind. They're just blown around this way or that. They don't take charge of themselves. They don't put their hands on their own steering wheel and chart a course to wherever it is. I try to tell people, find whatever it is that you have a passion to do and do it to the best of your ability. And you will generate good from that. Good will come from that.
Yeah.
And Preston, when she said, it's almost as, when I asked her who was behind this, we'll just call it good and evil, the war between dark and light. Who's behind it? And she said, well, we are. And it's as if right now, evil is a disease that has infested and overtaken the collective consciousness of humanity, and that is self-perpetuating. It grows. It spreads. It's like a virus. It's like a disease. And it has thoroughly taken charge of this, and it's being reinforced with the media, which is controlled by a certain group of people who have an agenda, no question about that, to tear it all down. Like they've done time, I think, the same type people, the same basic consciousness has done it over and over again. I'm guessing. I don't know. Have you run across others, Preston, who have a similar viewpoint about the collective consciousness here on the planet? Or is this new to you as well? Well, I've not heard it on the program before, like stated like Dolly has.
Certainly not as succinctly as Dolly, but yeah. I mean, this is something the ETs tell people all the time. It is our own responsibility to lead our lives, and we have made our own beds. We have elected leaders who do not have our best interests in mind. This is our own responsibility. I did talk to a couple who were taken in Arizona, pulled on board, and they were healed by the ETs, given information, and they asked them flat out, why don't you just come down and fix everything? And they said, we can't. It's up to you to solve your own problems. We are helping those who help others, but you need to learn how to solve your own problems. And so this is the theme I hear, you know, I'm not going to say frequently, but consistently.
Right. I asked Dolly that question on Thursday. I said, are we going to get help? And Dolly, your answer then was no.
No, we have to help ourselves. Autonomy is paramount in our existence. And it is simple and hard at the same time. I'm going to be honest about that. This is not an easy road to live or go down. And it takes every single person on this planet to do two things. The first one is accept the fact that truth is more important, more valuable than delusion. And that the morality of truth means that you have to accept and work whatever it takes to keep that in front of you and to run with it and go with it. It builds you up. It makes you strong. It takes away all your fear, and it helps you to see clearly, see what really exists and what is true. We live in a society where we've been taught not to do that. We've been taught to fear. We've been taught to live in a fantasy world. We've been taught to live in anger and hate and division and to fight one another. We have games where we let our children kill things and act like idiots and assholes. And it's going to take society as a whole, the consciousness as a whole, to say, you know what? We need to stop. It's time to stop. It doesn't matter. Equity is not how this should be working. Equity has nothing to do with it. It has to do with every single human being on this planet realizing that it takes them as an individual to join in and to help and to want it to work right and
you
to
understand.
Be willing and available, you know?
And look what we've done. We've created a paradigm of mass mind control, programming,
right.
Social engineering. We've addicted
Correct.
People to screens. We've addicted people to a reactive lifestyle, not a proactive lifestyle. Pavlov would be on the floor laughing. People
yeah.
look, they react. They look, they react. They do not think. And I don't know how to even begin to approach the subject of how to make humanity think and heal itself without complete control of the mass media. We don't have control of it. It's controlled by the sickness that has enveloped this the greed, lust, all the rest of it that has enveloped our species on this planet. We're in real trouble here. This is not a joke. I don't know how we're going to pull ourselves out of it when we don't have access to the control mechanism that is required to pull people away from such a fate that we're crafting for ourselves, a fate that has been certainly put together and constructed by greed, by lust, by all sorts of very negative things, and I'll be charitable and leave it at that.
Well, I think this is why we're having yeah. such widespread contact right now. This is exactly why the ETs are stepping in, and they are intervening, and they are helping, but only to a limited degree. They are waking
How are they helping,
up.
Preston? How are they? What are they doing? Give me an example.
They are contacting many people and mm-hmm. healing them. Those mm-hmm. who help others, I was looking into who is being contacted and why.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they are following genetic lines. But what I found is who is having contact are people who are doing good work for humanity in some capacity. An enormous number of social workers, environmentalists, animal rights activists, teachers, inventors, musicians. They love musicians. They are contacting people on a very wide-scale basis and doing their best to guide, teach, and help without actually, you know, stepping in and taking over. But, you know, physically healing people. Dolly has had this. They saved Dolly from a car accident. I have about 20 cases of that where people have been saved from a car accident. And not just that, but a wide variety of this type of thing. You know, falls, drowning, assault. I mean, you name it, they have stepped in and rescued people over and over again. They will intervene to a certain degree. And I think this is why we're seeing such widespread contact, starting with the atomic age. This is when we really started to spiral downwards. And they said, well, we can't let this happen, because what's going on now is unprecedented in modern history. Never before.
In recorded history. I concur.
Dolly was so many people being taken on board, ever.
Interesting. It sounds almost like it's a one-on-one basic construct that is being employed, but whatever. That's good to know. Should we have split the atom? Was that the beginning of the wrong turn for us in the 1940s, where the atom was split and we began to, we can blow people up with this. This can be the ultimate weapon. We'll run the world. Was that the
unfortunately,
sort of
we split the atom in a war, and it went straight to that. In other words, it was mm-hmm. developed to abominate others and to kill them. It right. wasn't constructed during peace at all. It wasn't used scientifically for what its value really might be. ET does use a type of nuclear power. It's not like ours at all. It's cleaner. It has no half-life, and it's safer to use. Everything that's really been going on here, there's more than one situation going on at the same time. It's not just esoteric or, you know, our souls in danger, blah, blah, blah. It's also that the planet and our solar system, our sun, everything is culminating at the same time. We have multiple situations at play here. And there are multiple reasons why the evil that exists on this planet and is operating is doing what it's doing. It wants to survive at all costs. And it's using humanity in a way that it deems fit for itself to do just that. And it's violent, and it's quite insane at the same time. And ET's message to everybody, what they're training us all who are having contact, is to help people use their innate ability to clean up their bodies, to clean up their ability to hear and understand the truth. It's very easy to stop the media from bugging you. All you have to do is turn it off, walk away, turn your back on it. You don't have to play. And but it takes strength to do that. And the only way you're going to do that is if you develop your ability to hear the truth. And that's use your psychic ability. Learn to meditate. Learn to go within. Learn to drop all the insane words that you hear from the media and the people on this planet who want you to act and react the way they want you to. And
so
that is what they're doing.
What you're saying is very interesting, and it's that we'll call it evil, just to keep things short. Evil has the same lust to continue existing as good. So we're fighting
yes.
against another energy base that wants to live at our expense, just like we would rather live, most of the good people on this planet, at the expense of eradicating evil. So it's a pretty ugly situation when you look at it for what it really is. And right now, as I said, it does appear to me that evil has a very firm control of the immediate future. Right now, we're not
right.
going in the right direction. Am I
yes.
overstating that or understating
yes.
it?
No, you're not. But evil knows something that most people on this planet do not know. It knows that there's a ticking clock with this, and that time is short on this planet right now. And
mm-hmm.
it is operating under those that understanding. And it is literally in full panic mode. It is going to survive at all costs, because our planet is going to go through catastrophes that are unprecedented. And it wants us out of the way now, because for it to survive, we're in the way. And that's why the war, that's why food shortages, that's why disease, all of
well,
it.
Well, let's, planned. How about, excuse me, but how about the biggest thing of all? Evil has created the fake vaccine, which is nothing more than an incredibly sophisticated deadly bioweapon, which has been injected into the bodies of about 4 billion people now. And now we're at the
yeah.
stage where they have built into this injection the spike protein and other things that we don't even know about yet. There's another protein that's been discovered in there. It's talked about. We don't know what it does. It's about the same size as the spike protein. The point is, we are on the road to genocide. Not 100% necessarily, although an ELE is a possibility. We are at the stage now with this fake vaccine, and this virus, which is not really the issue at all, it's always been the vaccine, that we are facing a possible termination here on this planet. That's where we are. It's not a joke.
Yes.
And this consciousness, this evil consciousness, and I asked you about this last time. I said, did the evil ones who put this so-called vaccine together, which is it's a deadly bioweapon, did they have help? You said, no. We did it all. Evil people
yes.
did it all.
Correct.
And that was very enlightening.
Humans are very intelligent beings. We are the children of ET. They are progenitors. I've inherited their ability to use their minds in incredibly interesting ways. And, we've come up with this ourselves. We created this. It's our doing, all of it.
And we have to face it, and yet most people have bought into the really disgusting narrative that government is good and government is here to help and health professionals and hospitals are here to heal. And in point of fact, the opposite of all of those things in terms of purpose and intent is more the reality than not. We're in trouble here. And I just don't know how to make that more clear to people. If I might go back to you, and you mentioned you were a hybrid last time you mentioned that on the program. What about your genetics, Dolly? Have you had did you do that little 23andMe thing or whatever? Did you find anything? Have you been studied for your genetics? And I'm going to go to Preston after that and see if anyone else that he knows about has. So what about your genetics? They say that we all have alien, I'm not sure if they're being cutesy. They have, each of us supposedly has alien DNA. What do you know about
yes,
this?
We do. Our DNA has been genetic, alien DNA from the very beginning. We are, as I said, the children of ET. And our entire history is of that. So it's hard for people to fathom that when you pull your DNA and you're looking at it. It's not just terrestrial DNA. It's the DNA of your forefathers. All the way back. And what makes us unique is how our bodies are coded and developed to handle existence in hostile environments like a planet. And we have abilities, talents, everything, and your DNA will decide how much of each of those gifts you have in your DNA to survive and to go forward. Yes, I've had my DNA pulled. Yes, I know what my ethnicities are. I want to make something clear, first of all. We are humans. This is our race. ETs are human also. They are part of the huge, large human genome of the universe. Okay, it is our DNA is in all things, all living beings, animals, ET, if it's alive, it has DNA, and it's all related to one another. We exist and coexist with one another. That's why there are abilities for us to breathe back and forth with our progenitors, because we are related to them. They are human as we are. We dial up ethnically different sometimes. We look a little different from one another. We have example A, B, C, D, and E on this planet. Some of us have a lot of melanin.
Five racial groups. That's what you're talking about.
Right. Five ethnic groups, not racial. Your race is still human. Okay. We need to learn to use correct terminology. Right now, you've been taught all the wrong things. You've been taught the wrong way to think and understand things. Just because you have the ethnicity of maybe being Italian or, you know, Swedish or Latino, all of that doesn't matter. A hill of beans. You're still a human being. It just means your ethnicity, how you dial up to survive in the environment that you were born into, is operates, period. ET is the same way. They have different ethnicities as well. They're as human as we are, but they dial up. It's a beautiful thing. It's like the entire spectrum of the rainbow. Light changes everything. We're all children of light. We're all made of light. And it's an incredible. And our DNA is the operating key for our physical bodies to exist in this realm that we're in. Understanding that and getting over the fact that we are not different from one another is paramount here. That's the first order of business. That's the first ethical, moral piece of understanding that we all need to clearly get straight. We are the same, all of us. We are capable. We all have the same. My DNA is interesting in that I'm what you call a Heinz 57 Mad Dog mix. I am a little bit of everything on this planet. I have almost every ethnicity on this planet in my DNA, and it breaks down, and you can actually see it. I find that interesting. I'm not just one thing. I'm all things. Most human beings don't realize this, but you are too. Maybe not in the same quantities that I am. We all dial up differently, but yeah, we are all a little bit of everything, all of us. And I wish people would do their DNA and have it really broken down and really look at it. It would shock you. I have some unique abilities that are hybrid to me from recent breeding in my genetics, in my family, and that is...
In your line,
that,
got it.
In my line, yes. That's the hybridization that I'm speaking of. Ethnic, in other words, I am recently re-imbibed or imbued with fresher DNA from ET, newer, okay? So I have a few strains of DNA that are unique, and it's basically... stood me in good stead. They needed me to be this way, especially after my birth. I had an interesting birth. My mom couldn't have kids. She had polycystic ovarian syndrome, and the U.S. government decided to irradiate her ovaries and her pituitary. I don't know if they were trying to help her or hurt her. It ended up
that I was genetically altered somewhat.
No, it wasn't, and I suffered genetically from it. I have... ET hybridization going on as well, and it's taken care of a lot of that for me. I'm able to sustain myself and overcome a great deal. I have I'm what they call a super healer. I heal very, very, very fast, faster than you can possibly imagine, and that's one of my hybridizations. It has to be because I spend a lot of time in space in a craft where I'm exposed to gamma radiation, and my ability to heal is paramount in that case. That's where my hybridization comes in. That's what they bred me for, because they knew that I would turn to it eventually during my training and want it, desire it. That's why I was chosen, okay? That's why they follow some family lines. They're breeding to abilities to help humanity. My job is to help humanity. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for humanity, literally.
So they're trying to breed and select and code for, which I think saying is good leadership, not evil leadership.
Yes.
That's the end goal.
In other words, I have a genetic inoculation against negative evil things.
Oh.
I'm more prone to want
now there,
to
there's
do
a vaccine we could use. That would be good.
Yeah. And we know that you can breed genetic emotional traits. And it's interesting to see how this all works out over lifetime. I'm not an overnight experiment that just happened in one day. I'm a lifetimes of careful, considered family watch to see how I was going to turn out. And they weren't sure, you know. Nobody is. The fact that I chose stands me in good stead. I made the choice. I have the breeding for it, yes, but I still am the one who chose. And that's up to all of us. All of us.
That's a responsibility, Dolly, that few people know and understand, and I think just about as few would want to take on. People don't want us to assume responsibility and accountability anymore. They're all victims now. It's not my fault. It's their fault. I didn't get this because they didn't do that. Whatever. But when you boil it down to what you were saying, that we're light beings, most people don't know that the individual body cell does emit photonic light. We really do have
absolutely.
Light within us. So,
right.
but
you're not
you
a
go
solid
up to
object.
go to 1,000 people on the street and ask them. They won't know because we're being kept under the boot of ignorance.
Correct.
And this is unfortunate.
Is a big part of all of this.
Preston, let's go ahead with you. We go ahead. Give us your take on this.
Going back to the whole genetic things, the people who discovered it, Watson and Crick, were so impressed by it, they thought that this was probably of intelligent design, not an accident, not an evolutionary accident. And I think they were right on the money with this, because what Dolly says, this is what I hear from other contactees. They've told me the same thing. Their genetic lines go all the way back to the beginning. Often they do have a very wide mix of ancestries. Dolly is directly related to one of the presidents, and or a couple of them, I think, and I've heard that from other contactees. Dolly's mother was actually pregnant with twins, and one disappeared. This is another thing that turns up in several contactee cases. Another very interesting link to all this genetics stuff is that... I lost my train of thought here, but...
Twins. One twin disappeared, and go ahead from there.
Yeah, that's not at all unusual where there's a disappearing twin thing, but...
Was that the twin disappearing at 90 days gestation, that kind of thing? It was just gone, and there was just one left?
Or 2, 3, 4 months in.
Uh-huh.
Or they don't even realize it. But another thing I found, which is quite interesting to me, is that contactees and their spouses are often brought together under very fortuitous or synchronous, coincidental, guided circumstances. I've interviewed many people who find out, they marry, they have kids, find out that they're both contactees after being married. So... or have even met before on board the ships. That has happened. It's not just me. I mean, Bud Hopkins had cases like this.
Oh, I had Bud on the program, and we used to talk about exactly that.
So this is what they're doing. They're very carefully following our genetic lines. Dolly talked about being a super healer. Yep, I've heard that before. Many contactees have told me how they enjoy very good health way into, old age. This, I think, speaks towards the ET agenda. There's a lot of fear surrounding this subject. It's not supported by the actual evidence. They are trying
The evidence would be the contrary to fear, if you look at it for what it is. If ET, so to speak, wanted to harm us, we'd be a piece of French toast by now, this planet. It'd just kill us.
You would never have existed in the first place. Correct.
Thank you. That's even better. Go ahead, Preston. We just have about 2 minutes, Preston. Once you finish it up, then we got another hour to go. Got a lot of questions for Dolly. Go ahead. Let me ask you a question. Preston, let me ask you a question. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and they tell me, and Dolly, hang on to this too, and maybe you can address this. But they come across as being, I am an ambassador from the Galactic Federation, and my job is to spread the good news, sounds like a street evangelist, among humanity that you're going to be saved, and the Galactic Federation is in charge, and blah, blah, blah. You've heard it all, Preston, for a long time. I'm not at all convinced that that merits even discussing. But it is a factor. What are your thoughts on that and the people? And we all know that there are a lot of phonies out there. There just are. That's the way human nature is. If you can't actually achieve something, you create it and you try and market it.
Right. There are a lot of shysters in this field, no doubt about it. People just trying to make a quick buck, those who want attention. But even more nefarious is what I would call the secret government, who are implanting debunkers and false information and misinformation and disinformation in this field.
Well, the deep state is the heart of the deep state is the heart of darkness. Okay?
Yeah. No, I've never interviewed a contactee who has, that I believe full on, who has said that they were part of the Galactic Federation or that there even was one. And I know there are some
correct
prominent contactees out there saying this.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, gosh, no, I have not heard this, and I'm trying to piece it all together because I've never heard of anyone talking about money or power structures or government or, you know, a federalized system ever. And it just seemed to me a very much a cooperative family group. And finally Dolly comes along, and she pretty much says that's exactly it. They cooperate among each other. There is no government like we would think of it.
Right. All right. Hang on. We're going to take a little break here. Dolly, thank you. Sparkling hour. And there's so much more in the book that Preston has put together with Dolly. It's called Symmetry. And I would urge all of you to consider getting a copy and taking a trip on the side of the street that most of us really never get to go on. Back with much more in just a few minutes. Hold on.